fantastic. That, you know what that is? That's comedic juxtaposition.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
503-733.
Something. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along and making a party listing day. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Boy.
Let's see. Let me read these. Rick.
What the hell? Lost my, the whole... All these skating references here. Christian from accounting says, Rick, the rink was actually in Westboro off Route 9, and it was called Roll On America.
Yeah. All I remember about the skating rink is this. Skating rinks when I was a kid, the skating rinks and bowling alleys were, my mom did not want me to go to either of them because it's where they sold the drugs. Especially the bowling alleys. Place called something Vineyard Bowl, something that where I was growing up. And it's like my mom, keep in mind I came from a town that at the time had like 20,000 people in it. I mean, really just the tiniest, most unimportant, most minuscule town you can possibly imagine. But she didn't want me to go to the bowling alley because she thought that's where the hoods hung out. And this isn't like 1980, and my mom is still, you know, the hoods, they all gather there, and they sell the drugs, and so forth. And then when you become old enough to want to find hoods to buy drugs from, you realize that you've been had, that you have to figure out from scratch where to buy drugs, because they're not there. Rick, while I didn't, oh, I'm sorry, this is from, where the hell, this is from, now in the name of sweet God Almighty, I've lost my, the sound, this is from Aaron. That's really wrong. Let's try that one more time. This is from Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No! Geek in the City. Long way to go for a short, dumb joke. Rick, while I didn't work at my local roller skating rink, we did have to share with old people as the great metropolis of Susanville thought it would be a great way to bring together the newest and oldest generation. Please to imagine dozens of hormone-raging hicks spinning around geriatric rednecks. Lots of broken hips. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have here before we do this? Rick, I just heard on the new news that those two guys that got stranded in the Columbia River last night swore they saw an alligator swimming in the Columbia River.
Right,
what? Really?
Yeah. You want to hear the story?
I don't know. You better wait.
Okay.
You better wait because I gotta build up to it. An alligator in the Columbia River?
Or perhaps more than one.
Ah! What?
I used to swim in that.
Isn't that the river that's all green and yellow?
Oh, it's the the Willamette.
When I swam in it, it was a lot better.
You know
back
what?
In your day.
Back in my day, the river was... Play it. Play the sound. When I... Back in my day, the river wasn't filled with raw sewage. Except it was.
Right, it was probably even worse back then.
No, here's the thing about the Columbia and the Willamette. Is that it's like if you're ugly, you hang out with someone even uglier. The Columbia is a filthy, disgusting river until you compare it with the Willamette, in which case the Columbia is fine and sparkling clean and, you know, fit for drinking and bathing in. And then they're both disgusting until you compare them to, like, the Hudson. You take one look at the Hudson, man, you can smell the Hudson River from, like, 40 miles away. So that's all I'm saying. Yeah, the Columbia is filled with them. Filled with sewage, and not so much as the Willamette, but and apparently with alligators. We'll find out about that. Let's do this. Before we do anything else, let us go to the phones. Where did I put my call screening thing? Is this Scott? Scotty? No, I got nothing. Let's go to the... Is this Scott Daly?
Yeah.
Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. How are you, sir?
Rick, good. How are you guys?
I am I'm doing fantastically. So you called me this morning. This is a great moment, and everybody, we have a huge announcement we're going to make here. So
yeah.
I was in a meeting this morning, and my phone started ringing. Of course, I have the whitest of all ringtones. I have this Run DMC song that goes off every time my phone, and it's like, and no one ever calls me during the rest of the day. Like, the phone is mysteriously sent. Soon as I go into a meeting where I'm surrounded by upper management or people around whom I have to kind of look like I know what I'm doing, bam, there comes the Run DMC. And it's always when the phone is sitting in the middle of the table so everyone in the room, people can all hear the ringtone at once. And then you called, I believe, 16 times in a row in the space of about 5 minutes this morning.
Well, I wanted to secure the big announcement. So before I could do that, I wanted to run it by you first.
All right. So this is, and you told me about this, and Susan Reynolds from marketing was there, and she saw me doing backflips about this. So so Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, which is a joint enterprise between you and Aaron Geek in the City Duran of GeekintheCity.com.
Correct.
Would you like to make the announcement about, because you come in every Friday and you... You claim that you're going to review films, but basically you just sit and sort of take up space on Fridays. But what are you?
Nothing wrong with that.
But no, it's fine. It's a noble effort. But what are you? Who are you bringing with you this Friday to the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly?
Well, I thought I would bring with me two actors. You may not know by their acting their names, but you would know their characters. Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson, otherwise known as Dante and Randall from Clerks 2, will be in Portland on Friday, and they're coming in to the Rick Emerson Studios with me at 2:15 on Friday.
Yeah!
That's exciting. In your face,
everybody who's not me.
Damn,
or Scott.
Great.
So how great is that?
Yeah.
It's just... Okay, you gotta. Is your phone actually inside your mouth?
No, it's actually really close to my mouth. I'm in my office.
Okay,
so
you got some breathing issues going on there.
Do you want me to call back on another line?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
This Friday, so Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson again, who play Dante Hicks and Randall Reeves from Clerks, and then
right.
From Clerks 2, which is either called Still Clerkin' or The Passion of the Clerks, depending on who one asks. Do you know if it's officially The Passion of the Clerks?
No, that was thrown around a while, but, hello?
Hold on a second. Is that somebody's picking up? Yeah, thank you. All right, there you go. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so this is...
It's now just known as Clerks 2.
And that opens when? When does that open?
That opens in July,
and
towards the end of July.
And early reviews have come in, and I'm a huge, huge Kevin Smith fan, as I know you are too. A lot of people in the audience are gigantic fans of Kevin Smith. Yeah. He really is, in many ways, although there are people out there who will not like to hear this or admit it, in many ways, Kevin Smith, along with Quentin Tarantino, is sort of the filmic voice of our generation. And I know that there are people who are horrified by that fact, but it does remain that for a large slice of people, and for a whole bunch of people who are like you and like me, and if you're listening to the show, the odds are about 2 in 3 that it's like you, that Kevin Smith does speak for you in some small way. And Clerks was a huge, monumental... it was a tectonic plate shift of a film for a whole lot of people. And Clerks 2 has gotten some very good early reviews. And so the fact that those guys are going to be in the studio is just fantastic.
At Cannes this year, they got an 8-minute standing ovation when the film was over.
Really? For Clerks 2?
Yeah.
Jesus.
8 minutes at Cannes.
Man, you want to talk about, and the whole thing, you want to talk about an inverted pyramid, man, that whole industry, that Clerks 2, all the View Askew stuff, Dogma, the cartoon, all of that came from some dumb little $27,000 film the guy made by selling off his comic book collection and filmed at a Quick Stop in New Jersey.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just fantastic.
Got a bunch of his friends together and put something together and did it and created... A cult classic,
yeah.
And one that will live on forever and ever, that I think every generation will be able to relate to.
No, I am ecstatic about this. So thank you. I got to give you guys big props and congratulations for hooking that up.
Oh well, hey, I'm glad I can do it. I wanted to get something. I wanted to contribute to the show.
You wanted to give something back.
What a great way to give something back than to bring in Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson. So. So 2 o'clock or the 2 o'clock hour on Friday, I'll be there. They will be with me.
All right.
We'll get some great radio going.
All right. Thank you. And the website is filmfeverradio.com. People should go check that out.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
All right. There you go. Scott Daly from filmfeverradio.com. So there you go. So this Friday in studio, we'll be joined by Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson, Dante and Randall from Clerks and Clerks 2. So you mark it down in your calendar, spread the word to all your bespectacled friends.
I like it when they knock all the candy all over the floor. That's my favorite scene from the first one.
I like that part when they talk about milk. So, anyway, I don't know how to follow that up with anything. Okay, so here's...
You go to Otis.
It's the only one way to top a Clerks announcement. The Simpsons are going to Otis. All right, let me just take a second here. Tim, why don't you whistle something for the people? Would you like to know? Let me pull back the curtain once again, kids, and let me tell you what's going on here.
You're a mean wizard.
I have, remember like an hour ago, how I was going like, I have this great software. With it, Scotty and I can talk to each other. That was an hour ago. That time has passed.
Nobody remembers an hour ago.
I believe I have to restart my computer for all of this to work. But if I restart my computer, I'm going to lose all these sound bites. So, Tim,
perhaps a little musical interlude.
Okay.
We built this Starbucks.
No, but see, if I restart the computer, I'm going to lose that, too. Well,
Starbucks,
all right. Do I have to, Scotty, do I have to restart the computer for this to work? It's just the program, not the computer?
You gotta ask these young people how to do this.
Well, I don't know. It's all, whatever happened to the abacus? Is it on the start button, do you suppose?
No, it's not there.
So it's where there? Yeah. All right.
That's a good place.
This COM port is not valid. Yeah, in your face, Scotty J. All right.
Come on the bottom.
There it is. And is it to...
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, do I have to do anything else?
Press enter.
It's this kind of radio that gets us the 50 share. Pressing enter on the keyboard? Yeah, no, I think it's working.
Get any, live.
Seriously.
Why don't you get out those sticky notes again? They seem to work.
That should be our next recurring bit where we're just on hold somewhere with like somebody who has a question about how to get on their AOL account or something with Bangladesh, and we'll just go to that occasionally. All right. Okay, so...
I didn't even ask him. Hold on. No one go anywhere.
Okay.
Hey, Scotty.
Yes.
So we've got Gary Baumgarten at 1:30. What do we know about Otis? What do we know about Otis?
10 minutes.
So we're talking to Otis in 10 minutes?
They're refilling the Slurpee machine.
And then Gary Baumgarten at 1:30? Okay.
That's like a two-man process.
All right,
it is.
Thank you.
It'll take both residents of Otis to do that.
more gripping radio. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up. We got the, like you didn't just hear it 2 seconds ago, we got Gary Baumgarten. CNN Radio is going to be here later on. The Pronto Pup in Otis, Oregon. Top five most embarrassing songs from the 60s. Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. More from Tim Riley at the City Desk. And, of course, we've got later on, we've got the Christopher Morris and Andrew Green. You're going to be here from Nicodemus. And I completely forgot about this. We got to talk more, whether he knows it or not, Scotty J is being strapped into a race car tomorrow.
That is going to be so much fun.
Right here on this radio program.
Are you
going
to film it?
You hear that, Scotty J? Yeah, we're going to do something. We're going to strap something to him to record it. That's all coming up. If you tune out for even a moment and miss any of this, you will have to kill yourself out of shame and humiliation. You don't want that, do you? Stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Here's Veruca Salt. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We appreciate your radio presence and your patronage. All right, so if you missed it, we have just confirmed that it's going to be in studio Friday. Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson, better known as Dante and Randall, from Clerks and Clerks 2. They will be here in the studio with us on Friday, along with Scott Dowling from FilmFeverRadio.com. So that is exciting. Tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, and I believe, now I have not confirmed this, but I do believe, that tomorrow, our good friend, Smokey from, KUPO, our fine, sister station here. They're about 5 feet away from us. They are country sister station. I believe he's gonna be here. Something about putting me in my place as part of a post-hitting contest. Now, I don't know, because I'm unclear about whether they still talk up posts these days. Well, Chrissy, you work at a couple different radios. Do the kids talk up the music ramp anymore, or is it a thing of the past?
It's starting to dwindle, like.
You can be honest.
If you have like an 18-second intro, you have 8 seconds to say something worth of content, you're supposed to shut up.
Really? So you're supposed to stop and just let that disturbed record play.
Yeah. All right.
What does the training of DJs consist of these days?
I think you just plug them in. I think that's kind of... just boot
what
them
it
up.
Seems like.
You just load Windows 98 onto them and turn them on. There you go. Here's your DJ.
I mean, you don't pack up a broken-down car in it for some small town and stay there and then... I guess not.
Well, we were just talking about Scotty. Now, So we're going to talk to Gary Baumgartner in just a couple minutes here, and then we've got we'll check in with my future home, Otis, Oregon, and we'll find out about the Pronto Pub place. But Tim and I were just talking about this because later on we're going to talk about Scotty J, who tomorrow is going to be strapped into a pace car at Portland International Raceway. And I believe those pace cars go like 185 miles an hour. And so we're going to paste him right into that car, and then he's going to have a microphone or something with him. And Tim and I noted that, I mean, it's Tim's phrase was, Tim muttered under his breath, got to pay your dues. And I mean, it was either that or setting up a giant inflatable gorilla somewhere, or which is probably the mascot of your radio station.
I just get visions of him screaming as he's going.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I got fired from a job. We're doing what Scotty's about to do.
Which is driving in a car?
Yeah, what happened was, way back when, I worked for a chain of stations, and everyone from each station in the chain was supposed to race in this race.
Right.
Well, my general manager, who thought racing was just for animals, forbade me to do so. However, being 18 years old, I was not about to miss out on the fun. After all, who would know?
Right, right, right.
The next day, the big story on the sports page was me being in an auto race and standing there being awarded a trophy for coming in last place.
They gave trophies for last place.
They sure did. I got a trophy, and I also got a pink slip when I got to the station the next day.
You win a year's worth of unemployment. Get out.
And I used to get paid $92 in cash in an envelope every week.
So sad.
Working, you know, 60 hours a week. So that was my last envelope of cash.
What format was this?
What was it?
You know, and you know why
was,
you...
I think it was a bright AC, and I was the all-night guy.
What year would this have been?
This would have been 1979.
Bright, what were you playing at a bright AC in 1979?
Roberta Flack.
Yeah. Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross, and what was it? There were some other horrible things.
Oh, man. Oh, it's unbelievable. All right. And you know why you got paid in cash is because he was getting paid in cash for playing Roberta Flack.
Probably.
That's totally what that is. Where a guy from, you know, record company, not CBS Records, of course, because I'm sure that they never engaged in any sort of payola back in that time period. But somebody from another record company, somebody from Warner's would show up and like, here's your new Kenny Rogers single. And by the way, here's $500, the two of which are completely unrelated to one another.
We feel like being nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. The same reason they were just being nice when they used to give one of my old bosses a big thing of cocaine to throw on the new Scorpions.
And you know,
record.
You'd have barely enough gas to get to work. So you would take a shortcut through the cemetery where your car would run out of gas at like 10 before midnight, and you're walking through a cemetery.
And the other DJ who's on 6 to midnight is getting ready to leave because he's not sticking around. He's not sticking around for $45 a week and some trade out at McDonald's or whatever they're paying him with. And I've done that, man. I've done those overnight shifts where it's like you wake up at like 8 minutes to midnight. You're like, how long can I sleep and still possibly get there before the song? I used to go in and like literally the jock before me would just have left. And their record is just playing, and it's not. And he's not putting on In a God of the Vita. I mean, it's like an Archie's record. You got 2.5 minutes to get in there before it stops. Yeah. Okay.
We're making it easy for you, Scott.
Scott, you don't know what work is like. Your kids with your audio vault and your auto Segway. Let's get Jesse, and then we'll talk to Gary Baumgartner. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey.
What's up? Hey.
Anyways, just want to know if you wanted some pre-info about Otis.
Sure.
How much pre-info could there possibly... Okay, go ahead.
Well, there's about three buildings, a gas station, the Pronto Pup stand, and the Rocket Cafe across the street. Oh, yeah, and the sign that says Otis for sale, $2.4 million.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you, Jesse.
You bet.
All right, there he goes. Nothing more exciting than old news. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from New York City. The city of something.
New York City.
And so forth.
Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. How are you, bud?
It's been one of those days. Today is one of those programs where I was just telling Kirsten, who was producing the show this week, that I can actually feel today's program taking years off my life. Because,
really?
No, and I mean that in a good way. We've, let's see, we're about 92 minutes into today's show, and I would say we've done 5 or 6 hours of broadcasting already.
There you go.
This is today's show. The motto of today is 50 pounds of mud in a 5-pound sack. You know what I mean?
Well, at least we'll be talking about something that isn't old news.
That's what I'm That's what I'm talking about. Let me talk to you. This isn't on the CNN sheet, but apparently they told Scotty you were talking about this. We had a story about this, and I'm unclear about whether we even read this story the other day. But we pulled the story, and I'm not sure if we read it on the air. Is it true? Are they making this up that they have created now a cell phone that only children can hear?
You know, it's funny you should be.
Am I reading this right?
Okay, the ringtones on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay, the ringtones on the cell phone, it's like kids are like dogs. They're at a higher frequency.
And they pee on everything.
Yeah, and they pee on everything. They're at a higher frequency.
Yeah.
So what they do is when they text message one another, the kids can sit there in class, and they can hear the ringtone come through, but the adults cannot because our ability as we age to hear frequency on the edge of our range tends to diminish.
Now, is that because our brains change or just because we've gone deaf by that point?
Yeah, probably both. Probably a little bit of
both. So basically in radio...
Yeah, I'm not an expert in the field, but I can tell you that what they did is, as an experiment, they went before, they took some adults, some teachers and some parents,
right,
and a class full of first graders here in Manhattan to test this theory out, and none of the adults in the room could hear, and when the ringtones came through, every kid's hand in the class went up.
That's creepy.
I listened to it.
That's
really?
Right.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
When these guys are walking around the subway talking to themselves, you know, maybe they are hearing something. Maybe their audio abilities are better than yours and mine.
Seriously, no. I mean, this is kind of, it's either cool or unnerving or some bizarre combination of both. I don't know which.
Right.
And so do they say what the tone sound, because we've got it. I'll play it here in a second. Do they say what the tone sounds like?
I mean, I wouldn't know what it sounds like.
That's
true. If you're going to play it, I don't know that you and I would be able to hear it.
Well, I mean,
you might be able to. You're young, but an old guy like me.
I don't know. Anybody who's worked in radio for more than 3 or 4 years is probably 80% deaf already. It's like anybody who's a musician. You know what I mean? It's like I got a friend of mine, man. It's like he's been a musician. He spent a lot of time in a studio with headphones on mixing bands, you know, mixing records.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like talking to Minnie Pearl. I mean, everything has to be shouted directly into his face, and there has to be a smoke signal in front of him, too,
yeah,
for him to tell, because all of his upper registers is gone. So I got this ringtone, and so I'm going to play this. Can you turn down my computer for a minute while I cue this up? All right, so I've got this here. Now, I'm going to play this ringtone, and purportedly, do they say what the breaking point is here, where at what point adults cannot hear this?
No.
All right. So I'm going to play this now. This is real. This is not a gag. This is a new ringtone that supposedly only children can hear, and that adults cannot. So I'm going to play this now. Here we go. All right, Tim, can you hear anything?
I couldn't. No.
I can hear it.
See, I can hear like a really high-pitched whistle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, your hearing is better than mine, then.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's ironic about all this, it was developed to repel teenagers.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Is there one for Get Off My Lawn?
No.
It's called a gun.
The idea is that kids are hanging out in front of the stores, the bodegas, as we call them here in New York City, probably convenience stores, as the refined people of Portland call it. And the store owner wants the kids away from the front of their place, but they don't want to go out there and move them on because they're afraid of, you know, they don't want a confrontation.
Sure.
So they put these speakers up, and they play this high-pitched tone that only the kids can hear, and it drives them wacky, and then they move on to another location. And so that's why they developed it, and then somebody figured out, well, if that's the case, maybe we can use it as a ringtone to be able to fool our teachers into not knowing that we're getting these messages in class.
I mean, don't get me... I mean, look, I despise teenagers, but that's only because I despise most people. I'm for anything that upsets the power structure, though. I'm for anything that screws with authority figures. I'm for anything that makes the job of principals and vice principals more difficult.
Well, I think it does show a degree, whoever came up with this, and I presumably it was a young person that came up with it, it shows a degree of ingenuity and... that's great. It's good to know the Yankee ingenuity still exists, although at the expense of somebody else. As you mentioned, people in authority.
Yeah, that's... What? Are you burgling something?
Yeah, you hear that? You can hear the car alarms here in New York City, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
I can.
So your hearing is not all shot.
Fantastic. All right, Gary Baumgarten, thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day
It's always a pleasure. I'll see you when I get back from vacation.
Where are you going? When?
I'm going to the mighty city of Detroit, because that's where my family is.
Who vacations in...
Well, we're family there, of course.
I mean, you have family in Detroit and they're still alive? I mean,
well, they live in the suburbs.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just going to say that's a vacationing in Haiti.
No, it'll be fine. We'll do some sailing on Lake St. Clair, so it'll be fine.
All right. Enjoy your vacation, Gary. We'll talk to you when you return. Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. That's Gary Baumgarten in New York City.
We should have asked who fills in when Gary Baumgarten is on vacation in New York.
I bet it's that Bob Costin. Well, maybe not, because he fills in for Lisa Gonnard. I don't know.
Maybe he has his own Scotty J hanging around.
Perhaps. Let's listen to the sound one more time. Yeah, see, I can hear it right there.
I can hear it there.
It's not tremendously loud, though. It does make my eyes cross a little bit, though.
Yeah.
It's not that irritating to me.
Well, but see, I don't know. I mean, maybe. But see, here's the thing is, by definition, I don't know whether I'm hearing it correctly.
I hear kind of a real quiet, high-pitched whine.
Do you ever hear noises? Okay, let me ask you this. This is a little thing that I call the is it just me, you know, am I crazy? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, please, don't play the, no. When I was a younger person, in years past, I would lay in bed at night and my parents would be watching television. And I used to hear this tremendously irritating high-pitched whine coming from the television that my mom and dad couldn't hear. And it would keep me awake at night. They would turn on the TV and I would hear a sound a lot like this one. It was a very, very high-pitched, almost ultrasonic whine. And I would go out and complain about it and they couldn't hear it. But I know I wasn't making it up because as soon as they turned off the TV, it was gone. And the TV only did it when it had been on for a while. Yeah, it was only when the TV had been heated up, when it had gotten warm.
Kids could pick up on a certain frequency when the TV was on.
And they thought I was crazy. They thought I was just making stuff up. Here's another thing. Let me ask you this while we're talking about am I crazy. This is like that the people who always think that streetlights turn off when they walk underneath them. This is kind of like that. Am I alone in this? Do you ever find yourself in the car listening to the radio or whatever, and you swear to God that the song has your cell phone ring happening in it somewhere? Have you done that?
It happens to me.
That's what I'm saying, and I've never met anybody else that it happens to. Where I will be, and I'm trying to answer the radio. I'll be in the car, driving along. Ba 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 ba. Song is up. Maybe it's the radio. Maybe it's a CD. And I swear to Christ, there's a cell phone ring.
Like five times each time, and I drive, and I think it's my cell phone.
There's this song. There's a band called the Travoltas, and they have this song. It's a song called Liv Tyler, and it's just a normal CD. And I swear to God, like three or four different times during the song, there is a noise that I think it's a cell phone ringing. It's the strangest thing. And it's not just that record. I hear it everywhere. Like I'll be listening to commercials on the television and I'll think that I hear a cell phone ringing there. And it's one of those things where you're like, A, I'm going deaf. B, I'm going crazy. C, they're just putting it in there to screw with me for reasons unknown. And I don't know which of those answers are the most disturbing. I don't want to be deaf. I don't think I'm crazy. What would they have to gain by screwing with me that way? Doesn't make any sense. Quit looking at me. I'm not mad.
You want an answer?
You must believe me.
There are subliminal messages. Kill, kill, kill.
That was Tim Riley who was saying kill, 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 by the way.
No, I was just
you were demonstrating
the bygone days of your childhood. But
do you remember when you used to kill, kill, kill?
Oh, no.
Okay. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Where to now? Are we going to Otis?
I don't know. I have no idea. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Otis. And welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Jason Elliott from Otis, Oregon. Jason, hi, how are you?
How's it going?
Oh, it's been one of those days. Let me ask you this, Jason. Do you live in the town of Otis, Oregon, or do you live in an outlying area and go there to work?
I live in the town of Otis.
You live in Otis. Now, we were to understand somebody, because Otis, just a little backstory here, a little reset, as they say in the talk radio school.
Yeah.
We had gone to Chinook Winds to see Don Rickles last weekend, and we drove through Otis, and there was a big town saying that Otis is for sale, the town of Otis. And we talked to Jason McElroth yesterday, who is the realtor representing Otis. The town of Otis, Oregon, is for sale for $2.4 million. He claims there are only two residents in Otis. Or maybe that's only two residents in the area that they are selling, but
I think it's two residents in the area that they're selling.
In the area that they're selling. So how long, you are the owner of Pronto Pups, is that right?
Manager.
Manager. So now we talked to the people at the Otis Cafe yesterday, and they spoke very highly of you.
Okay.
Is there a rivalry between the Otis Cafe and Pronto Pups in your estimation?
Well, see, we've been trying to avoid any confrontation with them. We've been trying to limit on what we sell because we're not trying to compete with them. The
sure.
Otis Cafe is actually famous for their breakfast.
And so,
as far as breakfast goes, we just do limited things to keep from competing with them.
So this is sort of a counter-marketing move.
Yes.
Now, what is a Pronto Pup, if I may ask?
The Pronto Pup is the original corn dog. Pronto, meaning fast in Spanish. It's actually a Mexican corn dog, but it's kind of like what you would get at the fair. It is the original corn dog, the first corn dog ever made, and they've stuck with the same batter ever since.
Now, when you say it's a Mexican corn dog, what makes it a Mexican corn dog as opposed to...
That's what it was originated by.
Oh, I see. So is it a Mexican dish to begin with, and it has just sort of become absorbed into the American culture?
Exactly.
I see. Now, is it, are these things, you make these fresh every day? These,
yes.
Are, this is a, you know, this is a...
So it's an all-beef hot dog.
So you're not, this is not something that's coming off a truck from New Jersey or something?
Oh, no. Fresh every day.
How long has the Pronto Pup been in business there?
Well, this particular stand that I run has been here since 1946.
So now, are you saying that in terms of America, that the Pronto Pup is the first place that the corn dog was sold in America?
Yes.
Now, is that documented?
I believe so.
You see, because that's, I'm saying right now, for me, in my opinion, that is historical landmark stuff right there.
Yes.
You ought to be on the National Register of something or other.
Yes.
Is there a plaque? Is there anything there that denotes that this was where the corn dog was first sold in America?
There is not a plaque. It's all hearsay. I wasn't obviously alive in 1946.
Right.
But anyway, that's just when this stand was put up. So the Pronto Pup is, I can't tell you exactly when it very first came out.
But in El Norte, here in North America, you are it. You're where it started.
Yes.
Now, do you have people come from other places to Otis to try one of your Pronto Pups?
Oh, from all over the world.
Really? Is that true? So it's a thing that the word about the Pronto Pup has spread far and wide?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Can they be shipped like a Harry and David item? Or
yeah, could we order a Pronto Pup and have it sent somewhere else?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's shrewd marketing, though. You make people come to Otis for that.
Yes. This is the first. Well, it's like a cornmeal flour type batter. The batter is just unreal. You could never copy it.
Really? Now, is it a secret recipe at Pronto Pup?
Yes, it is.
And is it handed down from one person to another? How many people at any given time on Earth would you say, Jason, know the batter recipe for a Pronto Pup in Otis?
I believe only the one company that makes it.
Really? So it's like the Colonel Sanders thing or launch codes for missiles.
Pronto Pup holds in the Guinness Book of Records a spot for the most corn dogs ever sold in one day.
And that number is what, Jason?
That number is 500, I believe.
Now, how is that possible?
Somebody Japanese probably ate them.
Well, on an average, on a regular day, I probably do 300 corn dogs.
Really? Wow. 300?
On a busy day, I've probably came close. I've never actually counted, and I might keep track now. I think I've maybe come close to that Guinness Book of Records.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you should know, Jason, that I, Rick Emerson, am looking into buying Otis, Oregon.
Okay.
And it will be renamed Emersonia, and it will be a glorious workers' paradise.
Okay.
However, I will spare the Pronto Pup because you are a landmark. The Pronto Pup will remain in business, and you, I think, could be the official eatery of Emersonia.
Well,
and,
thank you.
Do you have any law enforcement experience? Do you know how to use a taser? I'm going to need some people to help me keep folks in line.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, Jason Elliott, Pronto Pups. What is your actual address if people want to come by and get a Pronto Pup, Jason?
It is 1264 Highway 18, Otis, Oregon.
All right, Jason Elliott, Pronto Pups in Otis. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, Scotty. If you want to talk to...
So now we've spoken to both people.
There's no one left to talk to. That's it. We've talked to the whole town. I mean, I guess I could just take out the Otis... I mean,
they seem friendly.
They do.
And there's probably not really a phone book. There's probably just sort of a leaflet that you... I mean, how many phones could there be to call in that town? So there you go. That's it. So, all right. I've exhausted. That's the bit sack is empty. I've got nothing else to do with Otis. I think we've reached the bottom of the barrel and are now digging underneath the barrel in terms of talking to people in Otis. It appears to be a town without law.
A town without pity.
It's a reckless new frontier. Let's talk to Sean. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Sean, what's up?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
I'm fine. How can I help you, Sean?
You hadn't, didn't do the obvious Superman reference, Otisburg.
Well, you know, I'm a little slow. I'm under-caffeinated today.
That's all right. I was calling you because I wanted to validate you on that the issue of hearing ringing tones from different various areas.
Like in a song or like on television, you hear a cell phone ringtone in places where your cell phone isn't ringing.
Exactly. You start looking for your phone, and I think that's actually some kind of a marketing thing because people normally tune into their phone. They're listening for their phone. When the phone goes off, it automatically grabs their attention. If it's not being done, it should be done because it works.
Yeah, and it is true. And I'll sit there and I'll turn down whatever it is I'm listening to, or I'll pause the CD, or I'll mute the radio, or whatever. I'm like, well, where's my goddamn phone? And then it turns out the phone isn't ringing at all.
Yeah, at first you go, well, that's not even my ringtone.
Yeah.
You're like, well, there's nobody else here. Where's this phone ringing?
That's what I'm saying. And then you're like, and then in your head, you're like, this is it. I've finally gone crazy. I've snapped. I've gone around the bend.
Yeah. It's the same thing. I turn it down. I was like, is that, it's on the radio.
Yeah,
what the hell?
And there's weird things like this that happen. And sometimes the weirdest part and the most frustrating part is that, like, the phone company won't acknowledge them. Like, back in the day, this doesn't happen so much anymore, but back in the day, this thing used to happen, and this has happened to a lot of people I know, where occasionally, like at 4 a.m., your phone would have what I call a ghost ring, where your phone, it wasn't even a whole ring. It was like your phone would ring, but it was like a fourth of a ring. It would just be sort of like a, and then it would, and there was no one there, and it would just be like a quarter of a ring that happened for no readily apparent reason.
Yep.
Phone company told me I was crazy.
No, what they're doing is you didn't hear anything. Do the wave of the hand. You heard nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Trying to the Jedi.
They're just
all right.
Testing to make sure where you are because they're making sure that where everybody is. You
yes.
know. That's the test.
They're for people that the black helicopters can't find. Yeah. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Sean and the Koof. We've gotten a lot done so far. We got another hour. Another hour. Hey, we'll go to the City Desk here in just a second, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and do some more news. But before we go to the City Desk, this is a good time to tell you, we're going to give away a couple pairs of tickets right now to the Champ Car event, which is happening this Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Portland International Raceway. Friday.
Oh, this is the one that stars Scotty, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, whether he knows it or not. there's going to be cars there. I mean, there's hundreds of miles an hour. So we've got some pairs of tickets we're going to give away right now. Callers 5 and 6 right now. We'll get a pair of tickets each to enter this three-day Champ Car event happening at Portland International Raceway. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Callers 5 and 6. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's the one, the only, Tim Riley.
From higher top to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. A pair of Guatemalan tourists stranded on an island in the Columbia River said they were terrified and thought they saw alligators while awaiting a rescue overnight.
See, this story is, I'd like to believe that this is just some sort of mass hysteria induced by the constant coverage of alligators and crocodiles, oh my, over the last couple weeks. But see, there's a little part of my brain that's terrified of the water and terrified of all that which lurks beneath the waves, that which ye cannot see. There are things in this world, as Stephen King once wrote, that would turn you white were you to come face to face with them. There are creatures in sewers, there are boogeymen under your bed, and cancer and garbage disposals are going to kill us all. And so it would not surprise me. And this is in the Columbia River?
That's correct, yes.
Now, but this is, let me put it this way.
We already know what it was.
I just heard a cell phone ring. Did that answer? Okay, maybe it's. I swear to God, I'm not screwing with you. I thought I just heard one.
No.
Okay. This is the wrong time to ask this question because the phone lines are clogged with the people that are doing this ticket thing. But does anybody know any reason offhand why an alligator. Is it an alligator?
Yes.
Why an alligator could not live in the Columbia River?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen?
I have no.
You went to college?
My specialty was in alligators, though.
No, come on. That whatever happened to a well-rounded education?
That wasn't a credit course.
I'm sorry. You only know, like, a Norwegian sea creatures. Okay, well, if somebody knows, I guess my question is it theoretically possible that an alligator could live in the Columbia River?
Mm. I think.
See, that's just, man, it's wrong. It's terrifying. Here's why this is, in my head, it's not such an outrageous possibility. Where was this in the Columbia River?
Let's see here. It doesn't say near the Columbia River, and I'm looking here.
And they were, what were they? They'd fallen off a boat?
No. They were stranded. They're small inflatable raft floated off course, and they got stuck on, okay, Reed Island near Corbin. That's what they were.
Reed Island near Corbin. And this is, I have no idea where that is.
I'm sure.
But they were floating along in a raft, and this is when?
Last night.
Man, it's just the idea of just floating along in a raft on a river at night. I mean, it's just I know that there's a whole Huck Finn and Jim going down the river in a raft, kind of Americana. But to me, it's just terrifying. The whole idea, because I'm going to be the guy on the raft in the middle of the river at night, and there's going to be a huge tentacle come out of the water, and something with five eyes and a huge beak and like horns is going to come out and attack me, and no one's going to believe me. You look at my TiVo right now. I got like 2, 3, 4 different Loch Ness programs on there. I'm just fixated on scary things that are going to kill me in the water. All of which would not be so terrifying if I did not know the existence of sturgeon, which are in the Columbia River. I mean, they're there. Now, and they won't tell you this in school, but, you know, sturgeon are dinosaurs. That quite literally, they are unchanged since the, I don't know, the Paleozoic era, whatever the hell it is. They don't have scales. They have actual plates on them. They are like living, breathing dinosaurs. So the idea that there could be something with huge teeth that's gonna consume you, it's not so far afield.
Well, the two men were found after they were spotted frantically waving their life jackets at a Coast Guard helicopter. They were hoisted aboard. They had no medical problems. However, the two men told rescuers they had a tough night. They say they saw alligators and other
creatures. I think it could happen. They found piranhas in Johnson Creek like a year ago.
Why do you have to... Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that. Why do you have to tell me this? God, it makes my skin crawl.
Oh, I hear a cell phone.
I hear a phone ringing. Wait, hold on. Hey, I hear that too. We're not crazy. All right.
And I'm in my 40s.
Just a wrong number.
Who was that?
Is Scotty trying to call and it called you?
Yeah.
Why, that's...
All right. Clearly the cream of America's electronic design talent
Meanwhile,
is going into this phone system that we use here at CBS
Radio. Back to the alligator story. So, in response, Coast Guard Petty Officer Amy Gaskell tried to hold back a huge grin and said the Coast Guard assured the men there were no alligators in the Columbia.
How would she know?
It was possibly a log. We have a lot of them, she grinned.
Logs
with teeth.
I was going to say, and here's how you know it's
how
true.
Can you tell, it would have teeth in the dark.
She wasn't even there. Here's how you know it's true, because the cops don't believe the story. That's how it always goes. I hate to sound like Matthew Lillard and whatnot in Scream, but I mean, that's how these things unfold. You tell the police, they don't believe you. Next thing you know, bam, you see a head washing up on shore.
Are all these people with alligator stories on these?
I don't know. I have no idea what these people are calling for. Scotty, have we already given away the 2 tickets? The 2 pair, rather? Yes. All right. Let me just, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Rick.
The question is, are you calling about the river or are you calling about the tickets?
No, I'm calling because I think I know what that mystery sound was the other day. Can I give it to you?
Okay, here's the thing about that. I have nothing to get. Well, I have a pair of tickets, I guess, to the...
I don't even want to win anything. I just got to know what it was.
But see, if you guess now and you've got it correct,
yeah.
How will I use it to give things away in the future?
Come on, Rick.
Come on.
Just let me tell you, man.
How about this? How about I pick up your call off the air?
Okay.
Okay, so hold on. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there, okay?
All right.
I'm going to put you on hold. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere. He was line 3. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm walking over now.
Like this room is so small that you people can't hear a foot away from where you were before.
Hold on. No, that's me. Okay, hold on. Hello, Rick? Wait, hold on. Don't touch the phone. All right, Rick?
Mm.
Okay, what is your guess?
The silence is about to go up any second here now.
No, that's completely wrong. No, it is not.
Okay.
That's not what it is. Not the doorstop on the thing that you go... on. No,
that's not it. Somebody guessed that the other day. They were wrong.
They've guessed it the last couple days.
Well, they just ought to stop it.
Thank you, Rick. All right, here you go.
Okay.
All right, walking back over now.
I'm putting the half away. Around the orchestra pit.
All right, the audience taking a long walk. All right, let's... Holy God. Finish the story. We're going to break. Susan Reynolds will come in and talk about strapping Scotty J into a pace car. The hell else were we going to do? We'll do another thing, and then some stuff will happen. and then some band guys will be here. And
so
then
you have it now, some stuff and a thing and some more stuff.
And then everyone will go drink and so forth. Let's do one more, then we'll break here.
A Helena, Montana woman whose work schedule was changed after she claimed of sexual harassment, including the requirement she wear an elf costume, was apparently subjected to an abusive work environment.
That's fantastic.
The Montana Supreme Court. Apparently, she'll find out how much she gets in damages against two restaurants.
An elf costume?
Yeah, an elf costume.
Well, what are you going to do? Different strokes for different folks.
And
all right.
Is Montana. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. The Montana elf.
There really are only so many women in Montana that aren't just flat out hideous, I guess.
Maybe they...
Sometimes you got to put perfume on a pig, I guess. It's 503-733-2970. Let's break now.
It's almost 2 o'clock already. Jesus. I can't believe it.
Have we done anything today?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not
good times. We're going to break. Susan Reynolds will be joining us from marketing. Then, as Kristen Bowie laid out for you, stuff followed by things, followed by random events and happenings. Then Chris Morris and Andrew Green will be here from Nicodemus. Then we will all go home and pretend that this show happened differently. 503-733-2970, Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Stay right there. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Black is back, all in. We're going to win. Check it out.
Yeah, y'all, come on.
Here we go again.